This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, April 15th. I'm Gavin Dahl. A reminder that federal and state income taxes, normally due today, were both extended to May 17th. Counties in Colorado are preparing to set their own rules for keeping the pandemic in check. The Denver Post reports tomorrow the state will transition its color-coded dial framework from a way to dictate each county's level of openness to a tool local leaders can use as they see fit in setting their own public health measures. The shift to local control comes as COVID cases are once again trending upward. The CDPHE reported 470 people were hospitalized statewide on Monday, the highest number since mid-February. The state recorded nearly 9,500 new coronavirus infections, slightly less than last week, but nearly 3,000 more than at the low point in mid-March. Telluride's Commission for Community Assistance, Arts, and Special Events unanimously approved a request from Planet Bluegrass to host a second smaller festival June 11th to the 13th. The additional weekend, paired with the originally scheduled and approved dates of June 17th to the 20th, makes for 7 days of music. The Telluride Daily Planet reports the capacity limit for the smaller town park events will be 2,500 to allow for social distancing, far below normal. A Western Slope ambulance service provider has become the first private company in Colorado to add a rapid extraction module rescue team to its services. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports EMS Unlimited, which provides ambulance and medical personnel to private events and to wildfire teams around the region, announced this week it is geared up to be able to do anything search and rescue can do. With litters and ropes and pulleys and all the equipment necessary, that means they can now extract and transport patients safely. Senator John Hickenlooper fielded questions from Coloradans last night during his first virtual town hall meeting. The Democrat was emotional as he expressed support for national gun regulations in response to the Boulder mass shooting, and he reassured a small business owner concerned they'll miss out on coronavirus relief funds from the American Rescue Plan.
We're going to do everything we can to help every business, and I'm especially focused on the truly small businesses, the salons, the coffee shops. I mean, those truly small businesses that really need the support to get back into gear.
Hickenlooper gave a less definitive answer on whether he supports continuing the filibuster in the U.S. Senate. He also said he would back an effort to charge fees for carbon emissions. The senator reportedly received more than 1,000 questions ahead of the event. State lawmakers are releasing more details on their $800 million stimulus plan to help Colorado recover from the coronavirus pandemic. KVNF's Capital Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
A $5 million grant to create new jobs in rural areas is one of the latest additions to the plan. Lawmakers are also pitching a bill to use taxpayer money to subsidize weddings, family reunions, and large conferences that fill hotels. Sponsors say the spending will boost tourism and help event organizers pay for coronavirus safety measures. Meanwhile, lawmakers are busy debating the state's $34 billion budget plan. In the House, lawmakers proposed almost 100 amendments to the budget. I'm Scott Franz at the State Capitol.
Forecasts for the Colorado River this spring and summer show an increasing likelihood of persistent worsening drought. From KUNC, Luke Runyon has more.
Last year's dry weather sapped soils of their moisture, meaning the river that acts as the drinking water supply for 40 million people in the Southwest needed much above average snowfall this winter to make up the gap. That didn't happen. Cody Mosier is a hydrologist with the Colorado Basin River Forecast Center.
If you look at April 2020 through December, even the first 3 weeks of January, that was one of the driest periods in the last 40 years.
So now the river's biggest reservoirs are projected to hit their lowest levels since they were filled. And water managers in Arizona, California, Nevada, and Mexico are bracing for the river's first ever official shortage declaration, likely coming early next year. I'm Luke Runyon.
A natural gas plant operator in Utah has started mining a novel resource, cryptocurrency. KZMU's Justin Higginbottom looks at this new type of extraction happening just outside of Moab.
Operators at West Coast Blue Hills Natural Gas Processing Plant had a problem. After the Greentown pipeline was shut down by regulators who deemed it hazardous, Blue Hills Gas was left stranded.
And unfortunately, these oil wells are not like your kitchen faucet where you can turn it on and off at your pleasure.
That's Steve Degenfelder, land manager and spokesman for Westco Operating and Kirkwood Oil and Gas.
And so we had no other recourse but to flare the gas that would have otherwise been sold down the pipeline.
Conservationists and locals criticized that flaring as an eyesore and an environmental toll in a pristine southern Utah landscape known for being a dark sky area. But last year, a company called Easy Blockchain offered a solution. That sound is an Easy Smartbox mobile mining unit. It's about the size of a shipping container. Inside is an off-the-grid mobile data center, a wall of fans, and a number of computers running complex algorithms. Its purpose is to virtually mine bitcoins.
They just do one thing. They mine cryptocurrency. They mine bitcoin specifically. You plug in power. You plug in an Ethernet cable. You connect it to the mining pool, and you're done.
That's Louis Arauz, an operations manager at Easy Blockchain. He helped set up Westco's Bitcoin box. His company also has mining boxes in Wyoming, Canada, and New York. Arauz explains that the problem with Bitcoin mining is that it takes a lot of energy. Currently, total Bitcoin mining in the world uses around 120 terawatt hours per year. That's more than the yearly consumption of Argentina. Entrepreneurial miners have searched the world for cheap sources of electricity to make their mining profitable.
Let's say aluminum, steel, and steel plants that were no longer being used. Abandoned hydroelectric plants, coal mining, areas like that.
A cheap source of electricity is just what oil and gas plants like Blue Hills have.
Why can't we turn the biggest black eye of cryptocurrency mining and turn it into one of its benefits? Because for many of these operations, they need to be able to have something that will constantly use energy in a small footprint.
Running the gas through a generator rather than burning it also cuts down on emissions, according to Degenfelder. Not to mention that one Bitcoin today is worth over $50,000. And a once wasted resource can now make Westco real money.
In Utah right now, they are at...
A company like Blue Hills might get around $2 per 1,000 cubic feet of natural gas if sold through a pipeline.
I'm going to give you round numbers. So let's say...
But today they could make around $30 per 1,000 cubic feet if that resource is used to generate electricity for Bitcoin mining.
You'd be looking at about $208,000.
That's a per-month estimate of revenue. Meanwhile, Degenfelder says his company's tax burden hasn't changed. They still pay local and state production taxes and royalty on the gas used, and what they end up mining in cryptocurrency is reported to the state. Around the country, operators are looking for ways to benefit from otherwise wasted or stranded natural gas. Here's Steve Degenfelder again.
Everybody gets infatuated with the term Bitcoin, but it could be utilizing that natural gas to generate electricity that's off the grid that earns something else.
For this plant outside of Moab, cryptocurrency mining made the most sense. Of course, the future value of Bitcoin isn't very certain. But as this pandemic showed, neither is the price for gas. Justin Higginbottom reporting for KZMU News.
That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.